Good morning, everybody. Good morning. Now, aren't you just so glad you made that choice? Isn't that wonderful? Doesn't that feel good? All right. Christy, thank you for that beautiful, beautiful song. That was so perfect. And Cher, of course, your treatment was amazing, as it always is. Thank you so much. My topic this morning is the power of it. Okay? So I guess the first question that comes to mind would be, what is it? Right? Okay, all right. And I'm using that word, it, in two ways this morning. I'm using it as the big it and the little it, okay? The big it, of course, is God, right? Okay. That which is infinite and knows no limits. That which is omnipresent, everywhere present. That which knows no equal and no opposite. And that which is all there is. Now I'm going to repeat that. I'm going to repeat that because that's key to this lesson this morning. That which is infinite and knows no limits. That which is omnipresent, everywhere present at once. That which knows no equal and no opposite, and that which is really all there is. Now, we're going to come back to that, those words, at the end. See, now, if that's true of the big it, that God is all there is, then the logical question then that would follow is, well, then what could the little it be? What's little it? The little it consists of all the conditions, all the experiences in our lives, which are actually the big it in expression. Right? Okay, all right. But the problem is, we sometimes confuse those conditions and experiences for separate powers, as entities within themselves, as things that have the ability to run off and create a life all their own. We sometimes forget that those conditions and experiences are also God. I remember saying that in class one day, and I remember somebody rising up and saying, no, you are not going to convince me that cancer is God. What else could it be? You are not going to convince me that hatred is God. What else could it be? God is all there is. See? And when we confuse those conditions and those experiences and make them powers in and of themselves, we mistakenly make the little its into big its. Like a whole lot of powers running around here. A whole lot of powers that have the ability to do whatever they want to do. And we have no control over them whatsoever. Nothing can change them. Nothing can stop them. Anybody, you don't have to raise your hand, but anybody ever felt like something like that was going on in your life? That it was that it was bigger than you? And there was absolutely nothing we could do about that. See? And when we do that, those little its begin to feel really, really big. See, but what we forget is that little its only have the power that we give them through our belief. Dr. Holmes tells us in the glossary of the Science of Mind textbook, he talks about appearances. We talk a lot about appearances. And sometimes we treat them as if they're really, as if they really don't exist. But he says, an appearance, a fact, an opinion are all the same thing. They are manifestations or conditions that appear to be true, but have no power other than the power of human belief. Now, I don't want you to take that to mean that the appearances in our lives don't have power. I don't want you to take that to believe that there's absolutely nothing going on here. They do have power, and they have tremendous power. But we have to remember what power they have. They have our power. They have the power that we are using through our belief system to sustain them. And belief is a great power. You try to talk someone out of something that they thoroughly and truly believe. But you want to recognize that the little its in our world have the power that we give them. The conditions, the lack, the limitation, the sickness, the sorrow, the loneliness, all that has the power that we're giving it. By our belief in its necessity. See? How much power are you giving to the little its in your life right now? How much power are you giving them? How much, what are you feeding them to keep them alive? Because it's only through our belief that they're sustained. The textbook tells us that truth is all there is. You know what? That's something we should sit and contemplate. That's one of those statements that if we actually hear it, not just read it, but if we actually hear it, it would blow your mind. He tells us the truth is all there is. Everything else is what we're doing with it. So that's a very powerful understanding. And if we got it, when we get it, and we all will get it at varying degrees, but when we get it, we'll begin to see tremendous shifts going on in our lives. Because just by knowing it, you'll see a shift. Because just by knowing the truth, that means that a lie can no longer stand in that place where it was. So we have to contemplate that idea. Contemplate the meaning of the fact that the truth is all there is. Everything else is what we're doing with it. And when we get that, what we remember is that because the truth is love and peace and joy and harmony and freedom and all the other attributes of God, and because we're made in the image and after the likeness of God, then all we see and experience in our lives would have to be the way that we're reflecting. It would have to be the reflection of our interpretation of our relationship to the truth. So what I'm seeing in my world right now is a reflection, of my idea of my relationship to prosperity is a reflection of my relationship to perfect health. A perfect reflection that's mathematically precise of my relationship to joy. A perfect reflection of every attribute of God right now. Not good, not bad, just a reflection. This is how I'm seeing it. This is how I'm interpreting my connection to it. That's what Cher said in her opening treatment. So our little it is simply reflecting our belief about our relationship to the big it. Now here's the problem. If we see ourselves as separate from perfect health, if we see ourselves as separate from wholeness, which is what the big it is, then experiences like cancer and AIDS can look like really big its in our lives. See, if we see ourselves separate from prosperity and abundance, which is what the big it is, unlimited prosperity and abundance, if we see ourselves as separate from that, then lack and limitation begin to look like a really big it. But there's still little its. That has never changed. There's still nothing more than a reflection of our belief. But remember how powerful belief is. So really, to simplify this whole talk, if we actually began to believe the truth is all there is, we'd see our lives change. Just the seeing, just the knowing, just the believing, we'd see something that we haven't seen before. Because what was there couldn't stand in that place anymore. But the problem is that many of us believe more in the little its than we do in the big its. The big it. Problem is that we believe more in the things that are happening in our lives than this infinite, unlimited power that is forever sitting in smiling repose, waiting for an entrance. If we just believe. See, and the answer is that at some point, we have to take that power back that we're giving to the little its. We got to take it back. Dr. Holmes tells us conditions are not entities. We are entities. Cannot that which is conscious cast out that which has no consciousness of its own? Where is the power? Plotinus tells us everything is as real as it's supposed to be. Everything is as real as it's supposed to be, but nothing, no thing has self-determination. We alone have self-determination, he tells us. Where is the power? What Ralph Waldo Emerson said, let me begin anew. Let me teach the finite to know its master. Let me ascend above my fate and work down upon the world. Let me assume my rightful place. Let me recognize the power that I am. Let me take that power back that I'm putting into all those experiences. Let me recognize that I'm greater than anything that I'm moving through. I heard a report last week that said that the number of hate groups in the United States has increased 54% since the year 2000. Now, you know, that would probably concern me a bit more than what it did if I didn't know love. See, that would concern me if I didn't know that love has the power to dissolve and convert anything unlike itself. See, and that's what hate is to begin with. It's love operating at the level of hate. Where is the power? See, if we fear hate, then we don't know love. Do you hear that? If we fear hate, then we don't know love. Because, see, love can do anything that we direct it to do. Anything. It doesn't know a limit. It doesn't know a boundary. It doesn't know a fence anywhere. Dr. Holmes says its sweep is irresistible. Nothing can resist it. So if we fear hate, we don't know love. See, if we fear lack and limitation, then we don't know prosperity. That's just like love. It doesn't know a limit. The only limit that it knows is what we have infused into it through our belief system. That's the only limit it knows. Where is the power? If we fear depression, we don't know joy. See, joy is unbridled. Let it loose. I got to tell you, when I came in here the night of the ordination, I was just, it was amazing what happened. It was like, I was sharing just the other day, it was like stepping into a different dimension, stepping into a dimension of love that was so high that I had to raise myself up to meet it. And I had to open up and let it in. See, it took me out of my comfort zone. Joy doesn't know a limit. Love doesn't know a limit. Only limits that it has are the ones we're putting on them. If we fear bondage, then we don't know freedom. That's the thing. See, that's our work. Our work is to cultivate our relationship with the whole. That's what we're doing. We're not trying to fix this out here. We're cultivating our relationship with that which is in here. And what happens is it expands and it expands and it expands. When I came down that aisle the night of my ordination, it was amazing. Because I could just feel myself just opening wide up. It was bigger than me when I stepped in that door, and I had to meet it. And it showed me how powerful this power is that we're dealing with. Now, I thought I was doing pretty good before that. I mean, I was really surprised when I walked in. And so this is what I'm talking about. Opening, cultivating to that higher vibration. Dr. Holmes said Science of Mind magazine, he said, what we should realize is that any evil, any lack, any limitation, or any negation whatsoever, meaning anything that negates the truth of us, will disappear and completely just as soon as we no longer contemplate it. Just as soon as we no longer believe in it. Just as soon as we no longer think about it or give it any power. It withers by non-use. Belief is powerful. And we have the power to choose what we believe. That's the thing that is just exciting me so much. So that's about the little it, but what about the big it? What is that? The big it is unlimited. But we empower it. Now, I know that doesn't sound possible, but we do. We can actually disempower it by limiting our belief, by saying this is possible and this isn't, by saying I can only receive so much love, by saying I can only have so much money. See, we can limit it, and spirit is not going where it's not invited. It's everywhere in its entirety, but we got to give it an opening. I remember in the Abundance book, John Randolph Price says, I have the power to limit the unlimited by simply not believing in it. By simply not being open to it. See, I have the power to deny the health that this big it is. By simply not believing that it's possible to shift from where I am to where I'm ready to be. That's enough to deny it. I have the power to deny the joy that this big it is by simply believing that I don't deserve it. That's enough to deny it. That's enough to close the door to it. I have the power to deny the prosperity that this big it is. By simply not accepting that it's all here, right now. See, belief is powerful. And belief can limit the unlimited. See, sometimes we have to step outside of our comfort zone. I want to talk about prosperity a little bit. Because it's an area that I've learned, and Lord knows I put myself through it long enough. It's an area that I've learned is a complete cycle. See, one of the things that it did for me when I began to open to it is, okay, show me, Spirit. Is that it showed me that sometimes it shows up in ways that are different than the ways that you're used to receiving it. See, I was used to being the giver. That's the way I wanted to do prosperity. I always want to be the giver. And then Spirit showed me, yeah, Dar, but to complete the cycle, you have to be the receiver also. You have to be willing to let it in. You have to be willing to let it show up in ways that it hasn't shown up before. Sometimes the ways that things happen in the past aren't the ways that we work today. So it's wonderful to be the giver. But it's necessary also to be the receiver. It completes the process, the cycle. So we have to cultivate our relationships with the attributes of the big it. Cultivate. First, we have to know what it is. See, it's not just a word. It's not just a word that we use that we throw out there that's supposed to do something for us. We have to know what it is and then understand how it works. And we have to stop trying to mold it into our ways and let it shape us into its ways. So what is it? It is a principle. It is a divine principle. Now, I want you to hear this. Dr. Holmes says in the glossary on page 586 under divine principle, such is the power of divine principle, right thinking, that it cancels and erases everything unlike itself. Place no limit on principle. It answers every question, solves every problem. It is the solution to every difficulty. We are limited not by principle, but by our ability to see perfection. So what did he just say? He said, principle is the big it. And the big it has the power to erase the little it off the face of the earth. If we're just ready to believe in the big it. If we're just ready to cultivate our relationship with the whole. I want to leave you with some questions this morning, and I think they're very sobering questions after we dealt with those ideas in the very beginning that I repeated to you about omnipresence and infinity and the all and only power. I want you this week to take the time to contemplate and ask yourself, what part of the big if do I believe is missing from my life? What part of the big it do I believe is absent? In other words, what part of omnipresence do I think is absent? What part of it do I believe is broken? What part of this power that knows no limits and no boundaries, what part of that do I believe is broken? What part of it do I think is on its way, but it just hasn't quite gotten here yet? Omnipresence. And what part of it do I believe is less than any condition that I'm moving through? So our work this week, see, those are sobering questions, aren't they? Because they wake us up, don't they? They make us realize that we've been hypnotized to the conditions in our world. We've been hypnotized thinking that they have power of their own when we're feeding them with our power. But it wakes us up to the realization that they only have the power that I'm giving them. And now I'm transferring that power back to where it belongs. I'm giving the power back to it. Let it be your way. Thank you for being here this morning, and so it is.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Our affirmative prayer. So if you will just simply be still and know that God is all there is. Be still and know that this infinite, unlimited power is all around us. It's all through us, everywhere, in its entirety, in this very moment. There's nothing missing. There's nothing broken. It's all here. It's all now, waiting for an entrance. We give it that entrance by simply believing in its power, believing in the possibilities for good, believing that there is good here for me now, and I'm ready for it. I'm ready to experience it in this very moment. We give it a place to happen. And Spirit is as instant as we are. There is no waiting on register one. When we know who and what we are, in that instant, shift happens. So I give thanks for this morning, for this willingness within each of us to go deeper within ourselves, deeper than we have ever gone before, and allow ourselves to know this unlimited power in a way that we've never known it before, and thereby knowing ourselves in a greater way. I give thanks for our willingness to open ourselves, to expand, to receive the greater blessing, because it's all here, it's all given, it's all now, it's all ours. So for this, I am so grateful. And I release this word and let it be so. And so it is.